Halloween!
Woohoo!
Ooh, girl! And welcome back to another episode of Ungroundable, the show that ruins a parent's perception of how good their kids are and how great of a parent they are. Am I right?
I was such a great parent.
You were great, and I was clearly perfect. Today, I'm so excited because we have a good friend of mine, but also a killer host, writer, actor.
Yes.
And just like personality in general. Tanner Thompson.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I've spent time with Tanner outside of cameras, outside of jobs, and he's wild and crazy. So I can only imagine what his childhood was like.
I love wild and crazy.
Oh, mom, like too much. We're going to be talking about church camp, apparently. Ooh. His drama days. He was involved in drama and so much more. Apparently, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there is stories for days that are going to make you proud, make you cry, make you laugh, and make you slightly concerned.
I'm in.
Nothing more terrifying for Halloween. Here we go. Let's do this. Cheers.
If your parents only knew of the shit you used to do, you'd be grounded for a long, long time.
Yes.
Hey
Tanner, welcome to the show.
Hello. Oh my gosh, thank you guys. Thank you so much.
You're in Georgia, right?
I am in Georgia. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a beautiful city. The food scene here, the restaurant scene here is out of control. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
I thoroughly recommend visiting Atlanta.
You take, and we'll leave the information to your Instagram so everyone can check it out. You take so many food photos. I feel like you're a foodstagrammer.
I didn't, you know, it's one of those things, like I never was in the past, but like now I feel like I have to brag to all my friends in LA about the delicious food I'm eating, you know?
I'm jealous. I am sincerely jealous.
Yeah, I've been there. The food is amazing. So delicious.
The pizza looked dynamic. You had pizza today for lunch.
I know pizza, everything thanks. About you. Oh my. Okay, I have to get this. I got to get this off my chest. Can I? I just want to start with a real quick confession and say, Lisa, last night when we were messaging about the podcast. Oh man, I was so hammered. I was so hammered.
We want to know on what.
Yeah, what were you drinking?
What was it?
Okay. Well, it was a number of things. I want to get to the other stories, but like you guys, I'm the dumbest person. So like I'm brand new to Atlanta, right? And I'm like walking around like the little neighborhood here, and I'm not even where I'm going to live. I'm going to live like over there. But anyhow, I'm walking around this neighborhood and there's this bar called Friends. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll have to check that out some night. And so last night I had dinner and I had a couple beers and I'm like, oh, well, on the way back, I'll just walk by this bar called Friends. And like, there were signs, but I accidentally walked into a wonderful and amazing gay bar. And the man checking IDs in his like band leader uniform should have been a hint. And so I just really thoroughly enjoyed my night at Friends and then actually went to a couple
friendly?
Other bars. You know,
did you make any friends?
Yeah.
Were you friendly?
I was very friendly.
He didn't pay for any drinks.
Yeah, you know.
hey, yeah, Tanner, so. Us blondes don't pay for drinks.
That's right.
Let me tell you.
Well, it's so funny that you said that because we were texting last night and I told you I was watching Dahmer and Jeff was at work. And so I was also indulging, but I was just being friendly by myself. And so I was excited to get this text from you. But it reminded me of the last time I saw you before you moved to Georgia. This dude, I meet up with him and our mutual friend Luke for like lunch. I feel like it was lunch or happy hour. This guy got me to drink 3 margaritas.
Whoa.
And I consider myself a good drinker, but like 3 within like an hour.
If you can day drink, day drinking is so much more fun than night drinking. I also enjoy night drinking, but day drinking, definitely, especially if you can be someplace. Think about when you're on vacation. What do? You day drink. Preferably near a body of water.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is true. Right. Well, there was no body of water where we were at, but it was definitely a great time. I have to tell you also, today, Mom was watching some of your show. You're out in Atlanta
now
doing Dish Nation, which I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
And Mom was very genuinely sitting on the couch laughing out loud, like throughout the whole episode.
It was fantastic. Yes. I loved it. Oh, I love the whole team. Everything about it was just hilarious.
For those people that don't know about the show, can you kind of explain what the show is?
Yeah, Dish Nation. Oh my gosh. Dish Nation, Lisa, Dish Nation is like the best possible show that you could work on. The best possible like live show you could work on. It's me and it's like me and some legends. Like I'm sitting next to DeBrat, and then we have Headcrack and Gary with the T, and then Sherry Shepherd also co-hosts the show. And it's a bunch of people sitting around.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people kind of sitting around gossiping about celebrities a little bit and not taking it too seriously. You don't ever want to come for anyone real personally. But at the same time, I don't know. We just try to make each other laugh nonstop and super lucky
That's
that we
great.
Get to do it. Yeah.
What an absolute dream. And you're so talented. And I was going down the internet research before jump into your stories, which I imagine you have some insane stories and I have many questions. But first of all, if you Google you, so many strange things come up. I'm not sure if you know this, but you're on this website called, not sponsored, marrieddivorce.com. And they really do like a deep dive into your dating history, but also into your life. Uh-oh. I will send you the link because it's hysterical. But they assume that one, you have an incredible amount of net worth. So Ooh. I didn't realize that you were very rich. Had I known that, I would have gotten the fourth margarita. But that you really are a huge advocate of social causes, which I know that to actually be true and beautiful. But more importantly, that you came from a very small town. A four stoplight hometown, which I want to hear about. But sorry, I'm jumping all around because I was so excited by the internet search of you. But going back to your work, you have done over 500 episodes of Hollywood Today Live.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tanner, absolutely. That's insane. Over 500 episodes of the same show.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, Hollywood Today Live was like this beautiful, amazing, wonderful. Lisa, you got to remember, and I don't want to like sidetrack too much, but do you remember how like the internet was just like the wild, wild west and there were lots of different digital companies that popped up and they went away and then a new one popped up and then it went away? Hollywood Today Live started out with this digital company and the name of the company was Bite Size TV and I got hired to be a host there.
I remember.
Yeah. And so literally I was dating this girl and she asked me, she said, have you ever thought about being a host? And I had done like comedy and stuff like that. And I thought, no, I've never thought about it, but I'm certainly open to it. And then, I auditioned for Bite Size TV, got placed on Hollywood Today. And then we did 200 or 300 episodes before we even hit television. And then, then we hit syndicated TV and we did 500 nationally syndicated episodes. And that was sort of under the Fox television umbrella, not Fox News, different part of the company, under the Fox television umbrella, which Dish Nation also is. And so Hollywood Today Live, which was 2014, 15, 16, 17, sort of opened the door for me to eventually work on Dish.
Jeez Louise, man, you obviously have the gift of gab. I mean, that's certainly impressive.
I don't know. I don't know that it's like the gift of gab or if I'm willing to make or if I'm willing to look stupid under any number of TV scenarios. I think that's honestly all it is. That's
a little bit of both, maybe.
Yeah.
Also, you're a writer, you're an actor. You've made movies. I mean, you have done it all. But most importantly, you have a past. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Okay. Start dishing.
Yeah. I have met your mother. I think you probably met her too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember we went to go see the premiere of Faith Based, which is a movie in which you and I play boyfriend and girlfriend, the greatest honor of my life. And we met your mother there. And your mom is a gorgeous woman.
Thanks, thanks.
She's a queen, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Shelly. I love my mother so much.
Shell.
True story. Her full name is actually Shell Donna, which is a wonderful name. I've never heard of another Shell Donna in my life, but she just goes by Shelly. So there you go.
Shell Donna. Donna.
Where is she from?
Yeah,
Shell
where
Donna.
Is Shell Donna from? What a movie star.
Idabel, Oklahoma.
Oh.
Is that where you're from?
So no, I'm from Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And it's like Oklahoma, you know, Oklahoma is shaped like this, right? Like this, like you have Texas and then you have Kansas. And Oklahoma, right, is shaped like that. You got Oklahoma City,
yeah,
and the panhandle. And then Broken Bow is like way down here. And the four stoplight thing, when I left Broken Bow, Oklahoma, they literally had four stoplights and they would turn two of them off in the summers because school was out and they didn't want to slow down traffic. So it's just kind of a,
my God.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. We got out of school for deer season.
Oh,
that like seems unreal to me. I always just assumed that was like something that happened to older people.
Yeah.
But we're about the same age, which we don't talk about. What our ages are. But
yes, yes.
That is wild that someone in my same age range
grew up
like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you run like wildfire to get out of there or what? What was your
it's funny
idea?
Like, I just knew I got into, oh God, because one of these is going to deal with the stories.
We can go ahead and dive in if you want.
Dive in. Well,
we're basically telling stories for Shell.
Yeah, let's spill.
That she doesn't know.
That's stories for Shell.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. I just want to start off by saying this is a diabolical idea that you guys have crafted here to have people come on the show and bring forth their embarrassing moments and things that they've never told anyone for the good people of the internet.
We love it.
Oh my God. Okay.
We're here to ruin families.
That's right. Spill it.
Okay. Jeez. Okay. I'm actually getting nervous. All right. So I just like understand that.
Just breathe.
I've made a lot of like cringy decisions in my life.
We all have. We all have.
Okay. We all have.
All right. All right. And the things I'm about to tell you, I've never told anyone else on the face of the planet.
Ooh.
This is a great moment to tell everyone.
Yes.
I'm gonna tell everyone here. Okay, so I grew up like super religious, right? I was like, I'm not so much now, but I definitely grew up very super religious, like in church almost every Sunday. I went to the Methodist church. My grandfather, Sheldon's dad, my grandfather built his church. He literally like built it from the ground up and everything. That was a Baptist church, but we were like a very church family when I was young. And so when time came and I got to be old enough, I started going to church camp. And did you go to church camp or anything of that nature?
Oh, no.
Well, but you went to Catholic church or to Catholic school.
I went to Catholic school, which, yeah, ruined me, but I'm fine now.
Okay.
I went to theater camp. This Jew went to theater camp because they had air conditioning. Continue.
Okay. So maybe, oh my God, this is so cringy. So anyhow, I was going to church camp and like, you know, or even like theater camp. I'm sure you have friends that you know just at the camp. So they become like your camp friends, you know, over years and years and years. And, you know, they keep the boys and the girls separate. And one year, I know. One year, oh my God, I was like in the
training for friendly bar.
Mm-hmm, training for friend bar. I was in middle school. I don't remember what grade that it was, but I got, oh my God, you guys, I got talked in.
This is just weird.
This is weird to say out loud because I feel like a creep now. I got talked into going on like a legitimate 80s movie style panty raid at church camp.
Ooh, I love it.
Tell us more.
Panties.
Oh God.
Is that a thing that people did? Like
panty raids, yeah.
Really? I don't know.
Sure.
My mom doesn't wear underwear. I don't know how she does this.
Yeah, I know this.
And all I wear is panties. So like I don't know. I don't know if it was ever really a thing that people actually did. I know we'd seen it in movies and some guy, it was not me, this was not my idea. But we were like, oh, we're gonna like sneak out of like this like some part where there's like some big activity going and we're going to sneak out of this activity and we're going to like run through the girls' cabins and like, you know, steal their underwear. And so,
yes,
we like support this.
Yeah. So stupid. So we do this.
No, I love it.
And okay. we're like making our way to like the second or the third cabin. Like we were like running and we thought we were being so smooth. And so slick.
Oh, you're
when,
in it.
When one of the directors of the camp literally caught us red lace handed and we were like standing there. holding, and we're just like, oh my God. And so of course the first thing we have to do is like, you know, put everything like, or at least give the undergarments over. And then we have to go to like the church camp office and get this like big long talking to. They talked about how they were this close to calling our parents and kicking us out of the whole camp, which would have been a completely like fair thing to do. And then at the last minute, we're all like, we're so sorry. We'll never do it again. Yada, yada, yada. And they, you know, and they like basically forgive us, let us go on our way. We're like the biggest idiots of the camp and everything like that for the next like 2 days. And then we go home and I never speak of it again until this exact second. The thing that is, I would have been grounded. I would have definitely been grounded for that. Rightfully so.
Tell your parents. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, this was like, I don't know. This was had to be the early 90s. And so, or in the mid 90s, somewhere in there. And so it's not like, you know. They weren't emailing anybody. And so, yeah, no one knew. I definitely would have gotten grounded for that. But years later, because I was a good Christian boy, years later, I did become the president of that church youth district. So I turned my life around.
The guilt set in.
The guilt set in. I turned my life around.
Oh, and, no. You mean you haven't done any panty raids since? I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Also, like... I'm thinking back to when I was that age. Mm-hmm. My panties were like big ass white, like Target, like the least attractive, like gross. Like,
they weren't lacy.
I don't think there were there any lace thongs.
There
I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
No, definitely not.
Not cute.
No. I made that joke up just 5 minutes before this Zoom started. But
it was a good one. Yeah, I'll give you that. Thanks. It was a good one.
Let me. Where's the rest of it? Yeah.
Those girls must have been mortified.
Oh my gosh.
Were they, or did they kind of like it?
I don't know that anybody.
Different times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like very much different time. Also, it's like
no one know.
Also, as a person who, as people in our vaguely, vaguely youngish ages. It's like the things that you think are acceptable as like a preteen and teen, if you did those things now, you would be like Jeffrey Dahmer level creepy. Like it would be so uncontrollable, unacceptable. Ugh.
Yeah. How funny.
But it's part of growing up.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure those like what's acceptable has changed, obviously. And I feel like, you know, we can go ahead. Did you do anything at camp? Did you ever go to camp?
Oh, yeah. I always went to camp.
Like sleepaway camp?
Oh, sleepaway camp for sure.
Do you have any memories?
A few.
Of Tanner stealing your underwear?
Don't act like...
Did you steal my underwear?
I would have. Don't act like you didn't get into some hijinks at sleepaway camp. Any sleepaway camp.
I knew about panty raids, though.
Yeah.
You knew
about it?
I knew about it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get in any trouble?
No trouble. I was perfect.
I don't believe you.
That's a lie.
I feel like she was the kid that was like sneaking candy into bed or something.
Oh, yeah. I was always sneaking something in. Yeah sure.
Well, Shell's going to be pretty disappointed in that panty raid story, but Jesus. I'm sure you got another one for us.
Yeah, let's spill it. Okay. Come on.
Spill it.
Spill it.
So,
well, let me ask you this. Lisa, how old were you when you got into acting? You were talking about like drama camp.
Oh, she was young. So young.
How old was I, Mom?
Five.
Five, I think. Five. I started at kids' theater. Yeah.
Ooh.
I was a dork from the start. You know what I mean?
No.
I really did. I did regular camp once, and it was too hot, and you had to like do activities, and I like wasn't into it. Yeah. And you got to put on bathing suits in front of people, and I was like, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. So put me on stage, Mom.
Just give me a stage.
Theater camp.
That was true.
I mean, oh my gosh, I can
theater remember. Camp.
Okay, so we didn't have anything like theater camp. But when did you do like drama in high school? Did you guys have drama competitions? You know what I'm talking about?
We never know because I went to like a pretty small school, so we didn't do like the big like We never really traveled. We didn't really have that experience, okay. But I do know because I was asked to like judge one of those mm-hmm. recently and I didn't do it, but I thought that would be fun. Like a national sort of competition. Oh, yeah. You did that?
So yeah. So our little small town, I was so lucky. Just had the most amazing high school teacher named Stephen Smallwood, and Mr. Smallwood ran.
I was gonna be like RIP, but I don't know why.
He's still with us.
Is he still here?
He's still with us. Yeah. I talked okay. to him. Yay. I actually talked to him last week.
We love him.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Smith. Mr. Smallwood. Yeah. Mr. Smallwood was the best. Is the best. He's still around.
Do you think he got made fun of for that last name though?
Joey.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
What? Where all did your brain just go?
Small wood.
Yeah. I got it. I
she got it, guys.
Got
she
it.
Got it. Yay!
Hey! Dick jokes.
Hey!
So, oh man, God. Back in, see, this is, okay, all right. So
it's okay.
I was like not good at any like sports or anything like that growing up. I was like, I was such a scrawny, like small kid. And so when high school came around, my like number one thing was I wasn't sure that I wanted to take home ec because if I did, I thought I would like get made fun of or picked on for being a boy in home ec. And aww. One of the other.
Wait, pause for
a
second.
Home ec.
One. This is another random thing. See, I feel like you're like 90 years old. We didn't have that. That seems. I feel
I
like
had
your town.
I had home ec.
I know. I feel like you guys are more on par with your childhood.
Yeah,
like
we had cooking and sewing, and is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, my town was actually from the past. When you get to be out in rural Oklahoma, it doesn't progress a whole lot.
It's I love this. Like I'm so fascinated by this because I think I grew up in a town that moved too fast. So this is like shocking to me that you even had that as an option.
Well, yeah, you had like woodwork and mechanics.
Yeah.
And
but he was saying like, did you learn how to sew?
No. Well, I
mean. What did you do?
Well, they might have. I wound up not taking home ec, but it was a class that was like offered. Home ec was offered in like the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade or something like that. And it was an elective, right? You weren't required to take home ec. But I think that they went over stuff like that in the class. I just knew that if I was in that class, I would probably get made fun of. Like I never missed a day of school. I had really good grades. I was already riding the line of like being a nerd, getting made fun of, not good at sports. Like I didn't want to push it, you know? I wasn't going to push my luck.
Yeah.
So then there was speech and debate. And I didn't know anything about it. And I thought, okay, cool. Well, I'll sign up for speech and debate. And that was Mr. Smallwood's class. He was the only person who taught it. And so as a freshman, I got into speech and debate class. And
nice.
Then one of the things that you could do is you could like learn a monologue or get in an HD or a DD, which would be a humorous duet or a dramatic duet. And you could have a scene partner.
Yes.
You could have a scene partner. And nice. Then what you would do is just love our teachers so much and people who volunteered their time because Smallwood would go above and beyond. And he would travel us.
Yes.
He'd get a bus, like a whole school bus, and our little Broken Bow drama squad would load up on this bus at like 5 a.m. And he'd drive us or have a bus driver drive us, you know, a couple hours away to a larger city somewhere in Oklahoma. And we'd go to this drama competition. And
nice.
Yes.
And all of the girls that I had the biggest crushes on were either in choir or speech and drama. And so,
alrighty then.
So the thing is like when you're a freshman, you're not in the senior level classes, obviously. And so the only time that you could be around any of those people was like if you got into those events, you know, you had to like level up your game. And so I remember
smart.
Being a freshman and I like had this guy I knew was going to do a monologue, but then he backed out. And then at the last minute, they were like, hey, you do it. And I memorized the thing and I went to my first contest. And I got third place at the contest, but
wow! Ooh, what was the monologue?
It was something that Dave Barry wrote way back in the day. I don't remember what it was.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Oh, mom's impressed.
I am.
Thank you,
Dave
Thanks.
Barry. Love Dave
yeah.
Barry.
Yeah.
Did you prepare it for us today?
Yes. I wish I did. I wish I had it. But what sort of happened on this contest was this senior
Next
girl
time.
Named Jennifer. Had like flirted with me a little bit.
Good name.
Over the weekend. Yeah. And so Jen and I flirted a little bit and that was like a kind of a thing. And then I got to regionals because I got third place. Like third place qualifies you to go yes. to the regionals. So weeks later, I go to regionals and Jen and I are like flirting more and more in the meantime between this. And she's a senior. So I'm just like, oh my God. And
you're over the moon now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And my whole thing is I know that if I do really good at regionals, there's a chance I could go to state. And those are the times that I get to hang out with her because like, I'm not old enough to drive. And it's like, you're not really going to be seen hanging out with a senior when you're a freshman in social groups, sure. right? In high school. So I decide that I have to make it to the state competition. And the only way for me to do that is to get really fucking good at this monologue.
Yes.
So I like knuckle down. I'm like, there's no way in the world I'm not going to do this. I have to be able to do this. Like I'm in love with Jennifer. Like I got to.
This is the best movie ever.
So I get to regionals. I'm a freshman. I've never done anything like this before. I get to regionals and it's huge. It's in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. And there's like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids.
Sepulpa.
Yeah. Ooh. Sepulpa. And so the whole thing is like, on a smaller contest, you might have like two or three rounds, but then at regionals, you might have four or five rounds, and each round it might have like 10 kids. So it's huge compared to these smaller contests. And I'm just like, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way, it's not going to happen. And in the meantime, like, this is also a sleepaway trip. And so like,
ooh.
So Jennifer and I are like sneaking out of our rooms and like making out at night. Ooh. And I'm like, oh my God.
Sleepaway.
It's happening, but I have to make it to state. And so I wind up getting to regionals and I don't remember what I place, but I place good enough to go to state. And the whole thing is like,
yes!
you want to talk like real confident and act like you want to act like you've been there before. Right. You know, especially when like you're a young person trying to figure out sex, you know, you don't want to come off too eager. You don't want to, you know, come off surprised. You want to be calm and cool and confident. And so,
my mom's already laughing at you.
Yeah. Clearly I'm still working on it. Long story short, as Jen and I are talking, cause she'd like gone to state multiple times and she was a senior. She was like known and well liked and great. She's very artistic. And so she of course makes it to state and I'm like, oh my God, this is where it's going to happen. Uh-huh. It's going to happen here. And so we make it to state and I'm a freshman in high school flirting with a senior in high school. Now we're at the state level competition and I do not win state that year.
I just closed the laptop.
But yeah, bam. Get out of here.
So disappointed in you.
Because of all the work and all the tension and everything that I put into this monologue and this like relationship that I was like trying to build with this senior girl who like truly, you know, probably had no business dealing with an idiot nerd like me. Sure enough, made it to the state level. And that's where I had my first like real sexual experience was in the dorms. In the dorms of a college, because that's where the high school kids were staying. So it started out as like a little hotel room. You had to sneak around to the little hotel room. And then you get to regionals. And then it, like that's a bigger deal. And then college, I had to sneak across campus as a high school freshman to get to the dorm building where the girls were staying in to chase my senior love. And I would have absolutely gotten grounded for that. Yeah.
Oh. How did it end up going?
What do you mean you got grounded?
He would have gotten grounded. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember it fondly. How did it go? You know, your first time doing anything is like half surprise, half shock, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh,
my
what
question,
is this?
Yeah. Really, what I was pondering this whole time was like, when you were doing your monologue, I picture you in tights. Like, were you wearing tights? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like this story with the idea of you in tights.
Yeah, I was absolutely in tights.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was in tights, as I recall, and a nice little pointy hat. It was a Dave Barry monologue. And like the whole thing about the monologue was, it was as if someone was changing the TV stations between commercials. And so what I would sort of, what the bit was, is I would like act out 10 seconds of a commercial and then the channel got changed. So suddenly I had to do a different commercial, 10 seconds of that back and forth through like six, seven, eight different commercials. And that's what got me action back in the day.
Yeah. What's Jen up to now? Do we know?
So she lives.
Wouldn't you love to know?
Well, no, we're still friends on Facebook. She lives in Dallas. When she graduated high school, of course, man, we're talking about decades ago at this point. When she graduated high school, she got into Millikan, which is a big acting university, and then went and put some time in on Broadway. But then after a few years,
oh my God,
yeah, wow.
She was auditioning for Broadway. She wasn't like leading musicals, but she was like auditioning and I think decided that wasn't for her. But yeah.
Nice.
I mean, maybe is there a love connection here on the horizon?
Probably not. Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, she's all wonderful. Right. Like, I don't know. I haven't spoken in years. But yeah.
I mean, maybe you should speak to her and do the monologue again for her, right? And see how it goes.
In tights.
Yeah, throw my tights on, knock, 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 and I just like start this monologue right at their front door.
You never know.
I really
feel like that monologue set you off on quite a career that you might want to like revisit it.
What a great story.
It's so silly to think about it. Let me just tell you guys how much of a theater nerd I was. Like, I made it to State my freshman year, and then I made it to State every year after that. One year I qualified six different events for regionals. So in high school I was like Mr. like theater nerd, really got into it. And then my state year, or my senior year, we got second place at state. But there was a lot of controversy because a lot of people thought we should have gotten first. But it was me and my my HD, my humorous duet partner, Jeremy, and I got second. Yeah.
You're my HD, Mom.
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah. Was Sheldonna so proud of you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Mom and Dad were super proud. I'm like so lucky that I'm just so incredibly lucky that like my parents supported all of like my nerdy little dreams and like weird little things that I wanted to do. And
it's great,
you know,
until now.
Yeah. They weren't jazzed when I moved off to LA, and I'm sure they thought I was gonna immediately move back, but you know, how it goes.
All right, you got to have like one more. My producers, who are just the most lovely, our producers, said that initially you had sent in a crazy list of stories.
Oh my gosh.
I figured since we've talked a few childhood things, if you want to give us like one more current thing that Shell might still be freaked out about.
Yeah, let me pull up the actual list here. Okay. Oh my God. Listen. Okay.
You're in it. Have
you been arrested before?
Oh yeah, that's
Lisa.
A good question.
We're not gonna.
That's a yes.
Oh yeah.
I may. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Come
maybe.
On.
Yeah. Maybe. Listen. I've
There's
lived
never
a life.
A maybe.
Yeah.
Look at this precious.
I got
face.
To see. I got to see Eric Clapton for free. And then later on, I may or may not have wound up in the drunk tank. So, you know, life is funny.
Yes. Where was that?
Oh, that was in Los Angeles. So that wasn't even, you know, that was a decade. Like now we're getting into like
rough.
Stupid stuff I've done as an adult.
Is the drunk tank like that's actually at... Like you get brought in, right, to the prison? Not prison.
That must have been rough.
Because they also have like a... Have you heard that they have a jail at Disneyland?
I have heard of this. Yeah.
So like that's what I was thinking. Maybe at the concert they had a drunk tank there. But no.
No, this was just regular old Van Nuys. This is regular old...
Van Nuys.
Yeah.
Well, you probably saw some crazy stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't... Listen, guys, don't ever get to the drunk tank. I'll just tell you that right now. Let me just run through this list real quick. I once made out with the principal's daughter in the high school auditorium. I was headed to jail for being too drunk at Mardi Gras when an off-duty LA police officer pretended to be my friend and kept me out of jail. That was exciting.
Thank you so much for enlightening us and bringing this to bringing this to my table. We'll be right back. Y'all, this is just a big thank you. A moment of pause to thank all of you guys for watching, listening, subscribing, reviewing, commenting. It's our new show, so we really appreciate you spreading the love. Please share it with everyone you know who might enjoy this. Leave a rating and review. Be honest. Tell us what you guys think, as long as it's fucking awesome. We're also about to share some of your stories. If you want us to read yours, come on, share your stories over on ungroundablepodcast.com. Anything goes, guys, so go wild. Share it up. Share it up? Is that a thing? Sure. Anything goes.
Share it up.
Anything goes, you guys. Share your stories. We can't wait to hear them. Also, come on, y'all. We love our Patreon members. Come and hang out with the other members. You get early episode access. You can check out bonus episodes, including a whole other show with me and Jeff. It's the only place to get the full video podcast and more. Also, out now is our first Patreon exclusive bonus episode today. That is Sidebar with me and Jeff. It's bizarre and bonkers and just what you think it's going to be, but like more. If you know Jeff, you know how wild this is about to get. So there you go. Thank you guys so much. Mom, any words of encouragement to all of our followers, listeners?
I think everyone should just listen, have a drink, and have a good laugh.
Have a good laugh.
Yeah.
And you know what? We should get back to Tanner. Speaking of laughs, I'm like afraid to go back, but I'm also so excited.
We need to.
Let's
it's
do
all
it.
About the panty raid.
Let's do this. I'm going to give you a beat here and actually bring up some stories from some of the people that have been watching and listening to this podcast. So we're taking the heat off of you. Although if any of these stories elicit any stories or memories from either one of you, please do not hesitate to share. All right. First up is when my brother and I didn't like our babysitter, we purposefully made her hate us.
Wow.
You mean I have like babysitter memories. Did you have babysitters, Tanner?
Oh yeah, definitely had babysitters, but they're all pretty nice. I don't have any negative memories about them.
Yeah, me either. Although I have this memory of being a babysitter. Did you ever babysit?
No. Guys don't get asked to do that as much, you know?
No, they don't.
You know what?
It's a little creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. I mean, maybe back in the day, but like, what's so crazy is that our parents trusted us with very young babysitters. And so once I was in sixth grade and I was asked to babysit my buddy from elementary school who was like in kindergarten. So they trusted like a sixth grader to babysit this kid, which is bizarre to me now thinking back. And I was so fearful of like people breaking into the house. It was like my biggest fear because my mom left me alone with a rescue 911 episode, which I'll never fucking live down. Do you remember this? This is like so traumatic. I bring it up every 6 months because it really...
I left you with... You decided to watch it.
No, listen, it came on after Seinfeld and everyone left the room and then I was alone with this rescue 911 episode where this kid was left alone in his trailer park home and this intruder came in and he had to hide in the pantry and called 911 because the intruder came in with a gun. And ever since, I was really, really afraid of intruders.
Oh my God.
I hated staying alone. And so I got hired to be a babysitter. And so first of all I did was eat the snacks that these people had in their pantry. Because as you can see, that's a theme in my life. But then I remember hearing the sound and I fucking woke the kid up, dragged her out of bed and pulled her into the closet.
Stop.
It was the parents coming home and they come to find me in the closet with the child.
Oh my God.
And that's why you should probably get a babysitter who's a little bit older than us.
Wow. Oh
my God, I never heard that story. Yeah. That's insane.
So.
Yeah, that was the end of that. Did they pay
That's good.
I think they did pay me. I mean, it kept their kids safe. I was just overly cautious.
Oh my gosh.
You don't have any memories of babysitters?
No, I don't have any. I don't have any like babysitter memories at all. Nothing like that. I was never, no babysitter ever took me in the closet and we hid in the dark, you know?
Now that's sexy.
Yeah.
We had good babysitters.
You
too,
had great babysitters. Yeah. What do you mean you tried to be
No, that's
mean
what someone
to them.
Submitted that story.
Oh.
Saying that they just didn't like their, but I mean, I guess I get that. If you didn't like your babysitter, you probably could tell your parents, but if your parents aren't good at listening, maybe also, you just scare the babysitter away.
I just want to note, dear listener, if you're listening right now and this is your story that you added in, you need to up your life a little bit. If that's the worst groundable story you have is like not getting along
with,
not getting along with the babysitter. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Get into the drunk tank with Tanner.
Maybe don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, look at Tanner. What an example. Another one is, I used to sneak out at 16 to go out with my boyfriend, and we would just drive around to all different places.
What?
Okay. All right.
You never snuck out?
Wait a minute. When? Who?
Not me, Mom. A fan submission.
Oh.
We're into like episode 3, and Mom's still confused by this narrative.
Oh, my God.
You snuck out. I mean, clearly you snuck over to Jen's place.
Yeah.
On your trip. Did you ever sneak out of the house?
Outside of like, honest to goodness, I was like pretty much a goody two shoes in high school. And it wasn't until I got into college that things like escalated.
Ask you, is that because of marijuana?
No, I've never been a weed guy. I've never.
Oh, is that just when you were introduced to alcohol?
Yes.
Like, what about it? Or is it because you weren't home? You weren't with Shallow?
Yeah, well, it's probably like the part about like not being home. It's probably like being old enough to drink. And then also, I don't know, like I when I was in high school, I was like president of the freshman class, president of the junior class, president of the science club, president of the drama club, the church youth district thing. And so like I was like very sort of aggressive in the like, I'm going to do this thing. And then when I got into college, that thing became like, have a big adventure and do crazy stuff. And that's like where a lot of my groundable offenses originate.
You put your effort into being groundable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I've never been prouder of you. You've done a lot of great things in your life, will say,
the stories.
You know, like you were just recently in a movie with Jason Alexander and Lance Reddick. And like we said before, you've done over 500 episodes of that show, Hollywood Today Live. But I've never been more proud of you for all your groundable offenses.
Thanks. I needed to hear that, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Don't you think ultimately that's part of the fun and part of life, and also that's what makes you so funny?
I mean, it's like, so somebody has this quote. I don't remember who it is. I think it's a famous, comedian or actress where it's like, when you roll into your grave, like you don't want your body to be in pristine condition. Like it should be like covered in bruises and scars and like
barely
held together because you got all you could out of it, you know? And so that's kind of, I don't know. That's always sort of been my approach to things.
You really lived.
Yeah. You know, weird things happen when alcohol gets involved. What can you say? You know,
Can you say? All fun things.
Mostly. I used to tell you not to drink, and here I am sitting with you drinking.
Yeah.
Now we go out to drink. It's hilarious.
There you go.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're just a delight and a joy, and may you enjoy your adventures out there. Do it up for us. Proud of you, dude.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Well, that was a hoot, a nanny.
It was so fun.
I'm still not convinced that the Jen he was talking about was you the whole time, because you guys have like so many crossovers that it's a little bit creepy.
Okay. My lips are sealed.
I don't love that, but we'll go ahead and move on. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Come chat with us and our fun human content podcast family on Instagram and TikTok. Mom, we're so hip. We're so cool. So happening on TikTok at Human Content Pods. Or you can go ahead and actually contact our team directly over at ungroundablepodcast.com. You guys heard the stories today. Some of your submissions have been so hysterical, also so frightening. Again, very appropriate for Halloween. But if you want to submit your stories, please go over there to ungroundablepodcast.com so we can share them on this podcast. We really appreciate your input, your stories, and your willingness to share.
That's right. Spill it.
Spill it. Spill I know it. Today we were like egging him on. Like, spill it. Like, yeah. I feel like we're the devil on the shoulders.
Yes. Yeah, spill some more.
Yeah. Spill some more. We love it. Also, thanks to all of our listeners who are taking the time to review the podcast. We're new to the podcast world, so this actually, like, as we continue to do it and grow, we're learning that, like, reviews are very important. So thank you guys for taking the time to do that. Are you going to leave a review on this podcast, Mom?
Sure.
What are you going to say?
It's fantastic. I love it.
Say it a little bit louder with a little more pride.
It's fantastic. I love it.
The best podcast we've ever listened to. Also, you guys, over on YouTube, there are video clips available every week. You guys know us from YouTube, so thank you for supporting us over there. And also, Patreon! As you guys heard today, there's going to be some extra Tanner love over on Patreon. Yes. So make sure that you go over there to get these cool perks, including bonus episodes like Sidebar with me and Jeff. I'm sure he has lots to say about panty raids. I can't wait to ask him about that. And you can hang out with the Ungroundable member community that I'm very much active in. You got early episode access, exclusive live stream hangouts with me and my friends, and it's the only place to get the full video version of the episodes because Mom looks so cute today. So you guys gotta head over there and check it out. There's so much more going on over there. So go over to patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're your hosts, Lisa Schwartz and
Mom.
And Mom Schwartz. Special thanks to our guest, Tanner Thompson. We love you so very much and actually have an even greater appreciation for Tanner now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Mom's like ready to go out and party with him.
Oh, yeah. I want to go there now.
Our executive producers are me, Lisa Schwartz, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Our editor and engineer is Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Ben-Zvi. Our theme song is performed by the amazing Leah Donovan-Jones. This is Ungroundable with Lisa Schwartz and Mom. It's a Human Content production. Thanks, guys. We love you.